welcome to another Comics Burst from the Full Force podcast, sponsored by Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, where we take an in-depth look at the newest G.I. Joe comics and related titles of the week. With me as your host, Chris, has the Transformers run finished yet, McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80? Joining me on this episode is Paddy. No, Chris, it's the never-ending story all over again with this feckin' property, Lennon. On this installment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we have two Transformers issues getting us ever closer to the end of this epic 13-year storyline. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this comics burst. Starting us off is Optimus Prime issue 24, Youth in Revolt. As Unicron approaches, Optimus Prime's colonist soldiers take matters into their own hands, with Autobot forces spread thin. Will anybody stand in their way? And more importantly, should anybody stop them? How did you find Optimus Prime?
Is it me, or is that issue description does not reflect what actually happens in this? It makes it sound a lot more exciting than it is.
They always sound more exciting than the actual issue.
But it actually does not reflect at all what's going on in this.
No, it doesn't. As I was mentioning this off air earlier, I picked this up a while back. Obviously, we're kind of, you know, just about getting around to these comics. They've been out for a while now, and we've got Lost Light like tomorrow coming out, but we're going to kind of save those for one like special episode where we look at all the last issues of the run. But in reading this, I know that I read it, but nothing really went in there, and that is always a bad thing. I'm looking at it now, and it's almost like I've seen it for the very first time. The only thing that I recognise...
Because it's just washed over you.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I recognise is that lovely splash page where you've got Metroplex in the background and, like, literally, like, everyone that's available at the moment kind of in shot, which is, it's a nice kind of shot. The art, again, is gorgeous. Like, I have no issues with that. It looks definitely a more cohesive issue than we've had in like, the past. But, again, like, I just... This is a nothing going on kind of situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It just, again, we said this last time, it's like, why are you devoting one of the last few issues to these guys?
Yeah.
You know, and really nothing of consequence seems to happen in the issue.
No, apart from Soundwave realizing that Mainframe's dead, and apparently they've got some sort of connection, haven't they? And it's like,
yeah.
When did that happen?
Which is something that actually, to be fair, they did share quite a few scenes together in the series today. But I never figured that they were, you know, bros.
I know. Where did that come from?
Yeah, like, they knew each other, but I didn't feel, and there wasn't anything there in the relationship today that indicated that Soundwave would have an emotional breakdown at the death of Mainframe, which is something, incidentally, because when Ravage died in Lost Light, you got a few panels of Soundwave's reaction on the other side of the galaxy, and he was upset, but he didn't, like, break down in the same way as he did with Mainframe's death.
No.
Considering Ravage was a member of his team, you know, one of his friends. Literally has been inside of him. for most of the last 4 million years. And he didn't break down half as badly as when Mainframe died. So that is still a little bit strange, I thought.
Weird.
I have to say, the only real... What I would usually do is read these and then let them settle for a while, and then I'll read them again and write notes for the show. I do some show prep, surprisingly enough. But like, all of my notes are just like complaints.
Yeah, that's the case for all of the issues you've ever discussed on Comics First.
That's not fair. But like, there's a bit in here where Unicron basically spends the issue standing still to give everybody, to give them time to go off on this little f***ing tangent.
A lot of reflection and thoughts. And
Sly being so upset over Gimlet's death, when Gimlet, first of all, killed an innocent person.
Yeah.
And Gimlet, like, hands up if you remember him actually ever doing anything before in a comic.
No.
You know, but they're devoting an entire issue to the death of this non-entity of a character.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Unicron is standing in space, looking at them all do this.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, previously in the series, he's been wiping planets out almost instantly. And they give a reason, like, I think Stardrive gives a reason that, you know, the reason he hasn't killed us yet is that he wants us all together when he finally kills us. But, like, they're all on the same planet.
Yeah.
He literally just has to punch Earth and they all die instantly. Like, yeah. They're all going to die together anyway.
What I found really confusing is linked to the deaths in this one. Is the fact that there seems to be there's been quite a few deaths in the run in the last kind of few issues. And yet none of the ones that you think would have the biggest impact on others are having any impact on them. So, like, you know, there's like quite a few, you know, like, you know, named characters that we've known and have shared a lot of times and scenes and issues with other characters. No one seems to give a shit. And then all of a sudden Mainframe dies and it's like a big deal. And then, in like you say, Gimlet dies and again, it's a big deal. It's like, why? What about all the other ones that passed away?
Whereas we've had Blur die in the last issue.
Nobody cared. Nobody cared.
And Blur was famous before the war happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, his Spotlight Blur was the Spotlight Blur they did for him years back implied that he was basically Cybertronian Usain Bolt, you know, was known to all.
Don't tell Bolt that.
You know, was a world famous Cybertronian.
Yeah.
And he used that fame to open a bar in Cybertron in the Robots in Disguise series. But nobody gives a shit about him, but they all care about Gimlet.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's weird. And I think overall it's like nothing happens in it. Nothing really gets going. It's one of those issues that's building up to the next one. And that is something I find like a little bit abhorrent. I think you haven't got much time. Why don't you just go full out? Just go completely nuts with it, you know?
And the Unicron series itself is suffering from trying to do too much with the page account it has, which is something we brought up last time.
Yeah.
Why not use these pages to move the Unicron story forward?
Yeah.
Like the overall Unicron story, as it is, that thing is jam packed. That other series, and you're not giving. And we said this last time, where when they destroyed Cybertron, it's like it happens in the space of a panel, and then everybody kind of moves on the next page. And, you know, you turn the page, and everybody's moved on already.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we should probably move on to the next issue because I think
we'll get
the potatoes done on this one because it's just.
Wouldn't it be nice if this issue, rather than being an homage to, you know, Gimlet, so sad that he's gone, wouldn't it be nice if this had been a reflection on the fact that Cybertron had just been destroyed?
Yeah, everyone, let's reflect,
you know,
on
give the homeworld its, you know, what it meant to them.
What makes me laugh is they're saying that there's not enough time to kind of mourn and all this kind of stuff, yet that's all we're seeing mourning over, like, pointless character, well, not pointless character, it's a bit evil, but
over,
like,
over a couple of non-entities.
Yeah, it's nuts. So no, I agree. And what would you give it in a potating department, Paddy?
I am, just before I give it a potating, I am going to say one positive thing about it, and the cover of Slag, well, Slug, I guess is what we call him now,
Slug.
Is a fantastic Slug. That's a great cover.
Gorgeous.
The main thing's cover A is a fantastic looking cover.
Well, they are,
as
general,
you would expect from Yeah, the art is a definite improvement on last issue. It looks like this time they actually had time to get some stuff done.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. So what would you give it in the potatoes department then, Paddy?
Overall, I think it's a 2. And I think I'm being generous giving it a 2.
I think I'm also going to give it a 2. But again, it's the art that's kind of, you know, really kind of keeping it there. Because it is gorgeous. It's a gorgeous looking book. But goodness me, like, I just, you know, I'm just kind of fed up with it not moving anywhere. Like, we've had it not moving anywhere for so long. Now is a great opportunity for them to actually get moving. But anyway,
2 years by my count.
Yeah. So let's get moving ourselves onto the next issue, which is Transformers Unicron issue 5. The end is here. The Transformers bots make one last desperate stand against Unicron as Optimus Prime plunges deep into the monster and into the dark history that spawned them both. Now, this one out of the two was definitely a much better issue, I think. There's a lot going on.
And also that description of the issue does not reflect what happens in this issue
either. Another very good point. It's almost like I've got the wrong descriptions, but I double check this time. definitely the right. Yeah, but isn't that weird that, yeah, it's almost like they're trying to sell it, Paddy. So initially,
but like, it doesn't actually reflect what happens in the issue at all.
No. I mean, there are some nice things that happen in this issue, though. Obviously,
I quite enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, you've got the Maximals taking out Toronto. You've got Snake Eyes, Helix, Storm Shadow, and a bunch of Red Ninjas kind of like approaching on foot on ground as if they're gonna, I mean, I suppose they're the only human Joe characters that are actually going to do anything to any Transformers in any way, because they're the ones that have got the skills.
Now, here's the thing. here's the thing. How did Snake Eye, Storm Shadow, Helix, and a bunch of these... Oh, by the way, those red ninjas are actually red shadows in this continuity, Chris.
Yeah, sorry.
They're the IDW continuity version of the red shadows.
Yep.
How did they get to Toronto?
I don't know. Magic? They're dropped off by any one of the flying Transformers? There's a lot of stuff you just have to assume here, don't you?
The Maximals are ripping Toronto apart, and suddenly Snake Eyes, Helix, and Storm Shadow are there. Now, I can't go on about, you know, how powerful a Maximal is, but, like, I'm pretty certain Beast Megatron could take out a building with one blast of his cannon.
Yeah.
Toronto would have lasted about 15 minutes against Rhinox, Beast Megatron, and Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
So, like, they must have just, like, how did they, like, it doesn't make sense how they suddenly...
They're taking their bloody time, is what they're doing.
Are they going for a nice stroll and like, yes, I'll knock down a building. And then it doesn't make sense. The Snake Eyes and the guys just appear in Toronto. Apparently.
I don't see the point with all of the power that they would have anyway, that they just wouldn't level the building from distance, level the city from distance, and then go about their business. This seems like a really...
Shockwave could just float a mile up and destroy the entire city in probably the space of a couple of hours.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the fact that, you know, this kind of, like, drawn-out process. I know they're doing it for obvious reasons. They're giving the other characters a chance to kind of regroup and attack them, but it just doesn't really sit right there. What really made me kind of, like... I don't know if I like this or not, but it's the big kind of G.I. Joe, Action Man, Transformers, Mask, Scar are in there.
Everybody.
Yeah, Sergeant Savage, Joe Colton, who's all kind of arrested. And then you've got like the Cobra guys next to them. Why are they not arrested? Like, I know that sounds, it's a little bit like, you know, we're all combining forces now to save planet Earth. Why the f*** are Cobra there? They don't give a shit. Why do they care? I just don't understand this at all. This makes no sense to me.
And like, can I point something out? There are three Cobra commanders on that splash page.
Yep.
The Baroness version, Craig.
Yep.
That's the first time, incidentally, he's appeared in IDW continuity since before Karen Travis's run on G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Who's that third Cobra commander? Well, in the classic costume.
Yeah, because he should have been killed.
Well, you know, he's never appeared in that costume in IDW continuity before, as far as I'm aware. So who's that third Cobra commander?
Well, this is the problem with this comic. This is the problem with this run, that everything is so convoluted. You don't know where peak characters have come and gone and so on and so forth. Like, Sergeant Savage was probably, like, the most random inclusion, like, just, you know, being time teleported to, you know, the future and all that kind of crap. I mean, the fact you've got Miles Mayhem in the back over there, you've got Bullet Man, you've got, like, friggin', you know, Baron, what's his name? The guy from Scar, Ironclaw. You've got all these, like, random characters that I don't understand why this is even happening. Like, I don't get the point of this. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, Craig should be under arrest for war crimes. The last time we saw him, he had destroyed a country by setting off nukes.
It's ridiculous. Like, I like the idea of them kind of going, hey, look, it's everyone, you know, we're trying to throw everyone in at the last second. And it's just so, like, I don't know, just such a waste of time and effort. You know, you got the Action Man team there, an Action Man. And I'm just like, oh, that's great and all, but, like, you ruined that because you had a really good run with Action Man, like a four-issue run. He was one of the standout characters in First Strike and Revolution and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was grossly underused. When he was used, it was the best part of the comic. And then now it's just like, well, just to acknowledge him, we're going to throw him in there with his team. And it's like, well, okay, great. And I don't know, I just find the whole thing really, I don't know, I'm kind of fed up with it. But there's a really beautiful splash page about halfway through with, you know, you've got like Gundam jets and then you've got the G.I. Joe kind of all the, you know, you've got the X-30 Conquests, you've got Sky Strikers, Phantom X-19s.
Yeah,
you've got
great.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, that's a great splash page. And then we see basically half the G.I. Joe team get wiped out.
Yeah.
which is kind of shocking.
What annoys me is you've got Slipstream and Ace, which is, you know, it's nice to see them and then to kind of be in it. They're like done, but the three characters that are G.I. Joe that have just done nothing for me this entire time. Talon, Spike and Mayday. They've done absolutely nothing for me in this run. And that's not their fault as characters. It's the fact they just haven't been utilised. They're only ever utilised standing up talking in a room, and they're never really doing anything like this. Those three characters do nothing for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, and it's the same. I mean, Spike was always a pain in the ass character, going back to the days of Costa's run and All Hail Megatron. And Talon actually is not a bad idea. I like the idea there was a new, you know, G.I. Joe field commander. But again, they haven't really used him now all that well, I think. He's been in the Optimus Prime series, kind of, you know, standing around in the background sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I wish they'd actually maybe fleshed him out a little bit more. You know, if you're going to introduce a new character, use them. And also have him, you know, you need to, if you're bringing a new character in, there needs to be a reason to bring a new character in. And they don't really seem to have justified his existence. And they've never justified Spike Witwicky's existence in this run.
No.
At all. Like, what's he doing there?
God knows.
He's like a poor man's Duke.
Yeah, he really is. Spuke, he should be called. Like, I find, like, I did enjoy the issue a lot more than, you know, a lot in recent runs, and I know I'm moaning about a lot of it. I like the kind of, you know, the build up to the Seekers all kind of getting out to Unicron with RC Optimus Prime kind of attached to them, ready to kind of, like, mm-hmm. Well, they're gonna basically be the ones to administer the
talisman,
the talisman, the killer blow, yeah.
Yeah, to Unicron to make him shit himself. which is my, which again has been my consistent claim as to what that thing does. The other thing we should probably mention is we have the Visionaries bonus strip at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
With the creative team of Transformers Visionaries, Visaggio and Fico Osio. You're a bigger Visionaries fan than I am. What did you think of it?
I found it quite interesting in that what they're effectively saying and doing is that we're sending these guys well away from any issues into the past of, you know, basically on Prismos.
Basically a couple of millennium ago.
Yeah, so they're
going to... Before the Visionaries even existed,
yeah,
in their own timeline.
So maybe it's a way to make it so that a Visionaries comic can be done, I suppose, like a standalone, right, at some point down the line. I suppose
it's basically it's an extreme reboot.
Yeah, yeah.
Send it back to the start of the timeline. The only thing I had a problem with it is they're all friends now all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like the last time we saw Witterquick, he was being tortured by Viridina and her mates.
Yeah, they're all cool now,
like literally strung up to a wall. But now apparently, well, we're all cool. Yeah, it was great, nice to meet you.
Yeah, that, like, is but I found those little strips like a little bit annoying in general. Overall, I found them mm-hmm. like very much like this is all we're gonna give these guys, you know. You know, it's just like a little, do you remember this? And then, but it, you know, the mask one was really weak. The, and we spoke about that, didn't we?
You mentioned you particularly hated the Micronauts one as well.
Oh, it was so bad.
I don't think this is particularly great. It just ignores what that same creative team did in their own series.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fair enough. We all forgot about it as well in the last 6 months. But, like, just to be saying, oh, we're rebooting it from scratch and they're all friends again? Like, sorry. Witterquick was literally nailed to a wall and tortured by Viralina, and now they're mates?
Yeah.
Like, if that was anybody, any real person, he would have hit her in the face.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. It's a weird dynamic. But, again, you can see what they're doing. They're literally just making it standalone. They're kind of putting it out there so it can be, I don't know, touched on again. But, yeah, like, all of a sudden they've been, you know, no one really knows how it happened, and then it's all like, well, you got what you wanted and everything's great again. And it's like, you know, I suppose it creates a nice starting point again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, reboots.
I very much doubt there's going to be another Visionary series.
Probably
done by not. IDW. Like, it just didn't sell.
No.
Like, they're not going to go back to that well. The TF Visionary series didn't really satisfy either Transformers fans or Visionaries fans.
No, it didn't really. No, I think it kind of put a lot of Transformers fans' noses out of joint with, you know, killing, you know, someone as major as Cup. And mm-hmm. then, oh, was it Ironhide? No, it was Cup, wasn't it?
It was Cup. Yeah.
Sorry, it's because that bloody cover always throws me, the one where she's got the thing through the back of Ironhide's neck. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway, I think that, I don't know, it's probably a good thing now that it's come to its own conclusion, thankfully. In any case, coming back to Transformers Unicron, I liked the kind of, again, the art I really liked, and I loved the fact there was a lot of G.I. Joe references in there. But once again, mm-hmm. I'm never going to be fully satisfied. It feels like we're complaining a lot, but this is just going to be the way of things if it just, you know, if that's what it is, and that's what it is, that's what it currently is at the moment for us. It's just this frustration mm-hmm. that a lot of the things that we were excited about, this huge crossover, didn't really execute on any of the properties, any of the brands. The Transformers are no better for it, you know, probably worse off after mm-hmm. this, because look, it ended their f-ing universe. Like I wonder whether, had they not done the combined universe the way they did, or if they'd have done the combined universe without the Transformers, whether the Transformers would still be going in as it is in the timeline, in the storyline.
I 100% think they'd have been cancelled already. Transformers was selling less than 6,000 copies before they did the combined. It was selling, you know, between 6,000 and 9,000 copies before they did the whole, you know,
yeah.
revolution stuff, and it's been losing readership ever since. It was. I'm surprised actually they've kept the TF series going as long as they have, because they're not making money on them. They're losing money hand over fist on these series now.
I can't see anything changing that really. But IDW do have other properties that do sell a lot, though, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I suppose,
but I mean,
this is the thing. They have to sacrifice something for that to.
They've been fairly brutal about canceling stuff.
Yeah,
that wasn't performing well. Like Transformers: The Lawler One, they canceled that when it was getting to the point where it was going to be unprofitable. The two main Transformers books have been scraping by with 5,000 or 6,000 issues a go.
Yeah.
For the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
They were always going to have to wrap these things up. The Revolution thing was a last desperate chance to see if they could get any sort of interest in any of these properties, because none of them were doing very well for them. And I don't think it hastened the end of any of them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Those books would have been cancelled and relaunched regardless of what they had done 2 years
yeah,
ago, I think.
I think the only brand that's kind of come out of this, you know, with any kind of strength in a weird way is G.I. Joe. And that's because of the other run it has. It's almost like bolstered, you know, everyone's kind of like excitement is on that, you know, and I kind of.
Well, Larry's, the Dawn of the Ryashikage arc was selling twice. Like, it was selling more than probably Lost Light and Optimus Prime were combined.
Exactly, yeah. So I feel like G.I. Joe came out of it well, and it took quite a controversial reason for that to be the case. But anyway, what would you give Transformers Unicron as a potating, Paddy?
Yeah, I don't want people to think that we're all over this book.
It's hard to do this.
It is an enjoyable read. It's probably one of the stronger issues of the Unicron series we've had. Now, it has a lot of the problems that we've had with this series, where everything seems to be rushing a little bit too quickly, and they're not really giving time to anybody. They're not giving any of the characters a fair shake. But I think the one thing I liked about it was, like, we've talked about this splash page already, the G.I. Joe Air Fleet. This is the first time G.I. Joe has been properly epic since IDW started.
Yeah.
Like, that one panel justifies G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Like, why hasn't
there been this kind of, like, big air battle or big ground battle or like, loads of... Why have we had three characters fighting entire armies of Transformers? It makes no sense. Why have we only had Scarlet and Talon and Spike? Why have we only had these, like, few characters and Hi-Tech and Mainframe, for f***ing sake?
Why is it taken to the second last issue? Because this is what this is. It's the second last issue of the series. Why is it taken us 13 years to have G.I. Joe be properly epic
yeah.
in the IDW universe?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't get it.
This is Independence Day scale s***.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they've had G.I. Joe sit around in f***ing corridors and casinos and
cleaning cities up, like, you know, like the big
yeah.
rescue teams and everything. It's like, for f***ing
yeah.
sake.
This is, it's actually, this panel shows you that G.I. Joe can be epic in scale. It can be f***ing awesome
yeah.
if you want it to be. Like, even in the IDW series to date with G.I. Joe, they barely ever use any of the bloody vehicles.
Yeah. The only time Mainframe did, he got crushed sitting in it and then ended up looking like a pancake. Yeah.
But it was also, it was one vamp against dozens of Transformers. Do you think you might maybe send 20 vamps against a few dozen Transformers?
No, it's just ridiculous. Okay, so I would say that this splash page and that one scene of the HQ, that's the
yes.
only times I've actually been into this f-ing element of G.I. Joe in this comic. That's it. Two
yeah.
pages, effectively.
But it just shows you that they've had people with a lack of f***ing ambition doing the comics for so long. Like, G.I. Joe should be big. It should be fun. It should be epic in scale.
Yeah.
But that's not what IDW have done.
Yeah. They've really hampered, I think, the G.I. Joe side by doing, by, you know, focusing on, like, two. And I say focusing, like, it's not even a focus. Like, they hardly get used. And they're always just standing around. Scarlet is just barking orders, like, every now and then. But actually, nothing ever happens or you know, nothing comes of it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but anyway, what would you give Unicron as a potating, Paddy?
I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm also going to give it a 3, just based on that bloody gorgeous splash page, which I'm going to make as much noise as I possibly can with. But yeah, a bit of a shame. I don't like the fact that it's coming to an end, and it will be coming to an end with such a disappointing...
Damn,
yeah. Like, I don't see... It's not like I look at these and think they're not trying. I think maybe they're trying too hard. They're trying to fit too much in. They're not trying to fit enough mm-hmm. in some issues. They're just kind of going, right, well, we're just going to just stand around and moan for a little bit while Unicron's about to punch through our, you know, whatever. But yeah, I agree. I'm also in a kind of 3 department, but only because of the kind of the finally the a good use of G.I. Joe in the comic.
It's just so nice to see the Phantom X-19 again, isn't it?
Big time. It's really nice to see those Gundams and like Robotech kind of like whatever they were kind of planes as well.
Yeah. Anyway, there we go. We thought this would be a quick one again, and now we've spent half an hour complaining about stuff.
That's the problem. When you're angry about it, you can go on and on about it. That's the issue. But anyway, we've got. We'll have a special episode at some point when all of the comics are out, all of the last issues of the Transformers run are out. We'll do a quick review on all...
They do keep putting back those release dates on us.
Yeah, we might be waiting a while.
It might be 2019.
Yeah, it could be. But once they're out, we'll do a special episode with all of those issues kind of highlighted. And also a little kind of, I suppose, look back at some of our favourite moments of that 13-year run, because there have been some bloody good ones in that run.
Spoiler alert, most of them will involve Nick Roach and the Wreckers.
We should have Brian on soon as well, once we get some G.I. Joe comics to talk about. But moving on then, Paddy. Let's check your Paddy's pick out for this week. Have you got anything for this one?
It's funny that you mentioned Robotech there a few seconds ago, because I am currently reading the Titan Comics' Robotech reboot.
Awesome.
That's been going for about the last year. It's generally being written by Simon Furman nowadays. I think the first few issues were written by Brian Wood. It is essentially Ultimate Robotech. Like, it's going back to telling that basic story from the original cartoon, but taking out some of the stupider ideas and just ignoring them. Like, for example, the whole J-pop singing thing.
Yeah.
About, you know, Japanese pop songs being like the way to protect the planet. First of all, you know, it's Simon Furman back writing stuff. It's been pretty good. You get a couple of decent pages every issue of robot action. It's been enjoyable enough. It's been a quite enjoyable read. It's a little bit slow, if I'm going to be a bit negative about it. It could do a little bit of, you know, but it's very enjoyable. You know, get moving along, lads. Like, there's 50 episodes of this shit to adapt. I don't want to be reading this comic for the next decade and a half. The one thing I'd say is they generally get some really good artists doing the covers. I know Nick has done a few.
Jamie Sullivan.
Yeah, and the art has generally been fairly solid, I have to say.
Awesome.
If Robotech, I actually don't have a whole lot of experience with Robotech. I bought the box set a few years ago and ended up watching it, but I've no like nostalgic connection to it at all. But it's fairly enjoyable. It's worth a read if you want to give it a try, and I think the first year of it is done, so you can probably pick up a couple of trades to get you up to date as of now.
Awesome. That's something I've kind of had my eye on anyway, because it's one of those ones that looks really, really fun as well, like really, really cool. Yeah, awesome, man. Thank you very much. Well, that's it for this installment of the Full Force Comics Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host Paddy Lennon. See you next time, and as always, full moaning force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you'd like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback, questions or just a troll. Look out for more of these comic bursts on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, our Facebook page, Twitter feed and YouTube channel from now on. Full Force. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, located at 601 Business Loop 70 West Suite 263, located in the Parkade Center, Columbia, Missouri. You can visit their website at distantplanetcomics.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/distantplanetcomics.